Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is, of course, a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today, and I do thank Dylan and Kyle for having me on board the Hockey Podcast Network, THPN. We're also on that, and I deeply appreciate them. The sun is shining. The Wild are, well, not as close to a playoff spot as they were last week because, well, teams like Nashville and St. Louis keep kicking butt for the most part. So that's unfortunate and, you know, a predictable loss, I suppose, to the Carolina Hurricanes the way the Wild led and gave up the lead and then led again and gave up the lead and then ended up coughing up the ghost midway through the third period. The Wild also signed Merat Huzna-Dinov. So yes, a 2-1 week, but the signing of Merat Huzna-Dinov is a nice feeling. But the question now becomes, when is he actually going to play? Bill?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Bill. We wait that long and all that. Well, he's only 21, but you still have to wait a while for a player like that to come to North America. Obviously, playing professional hockey in the KHL, which is insanely impressive. I think way more impressive than some people might give credit, though most hockey fans are pretty knowledgeable that the KHL is probably the number two league in the world when it comes to professional and minor league or whatever. Professional hockey, it's professional. It's not minor league at all. MHL is their version of the AHL. I've gotten into that enough, but oh, come on, Bill. We waited long enough, right? We want to see him play. But, well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, how things go. Freddie Goudreau, anyone? Anyone? Freddie Goudreau, available? Anybody? Oh, come on, guys, please. Come on, cash considerations, that's all. Just cash considerations, that's all we want back. Seriously? Okay, well, that's about my thought process about trading away Freddie Goudreau. Is that offensive to some of you? Well, too bad. I'm just a terrible, terrible fan of hockey. I don't know what I'm talking about. Freddie does all the little things, right? Little things. Yeah, little is right. Anyhow, and no, I do not mean any inappropriate joke when it comes to that, so let's not go there, because I just think that's childish, but then again, where am I going? Who am I to call anybody childish? Why did I even say that? The Minnesota Wild 2-1 this past week. Yes, let's get to the point. We'll talk about Merat Huzna-Dinov as we continue throughout the show. He's about as close to a lead topic to this episode as we're going to get, for the most part. Which, you know, it's the way this season has been. An extremely impressive win versus the Edmonton Oilers, even with Joel Eriksson-Ek having an opening goal taken away due to offsides, which, I don't know, we're like professionals at having offsides when we score goals. It's just, we're legends at it. Legends, all time. At least it feels that way, but pretty impressive win in Rogers, whatever the heck it's called. Rogers Place, not Arena. 4-2 win versus the Edmonton Oilers. Shades of the 91 Campbell Conference Finals? Not really, but kind of. A pretty talented team in Edmonton, just like that one was. They were the defending cup champions, and they haven't won since, unfortunately, for their sake. I've talked about that a million times. Gustafson, a pretty solid week, I'd have to say, for the most part. I thought he's pretty good. He faced a lot of shots in the third period. Edmonton dominated the Wild. They absolutely dominated Minnesota, but Philip Gustafson shut the door on the Edmonton Oilers, the mighty Oilers. Time and again, he faced 43 shots and only gave up 2 goals. Pretty good. Matt Boldy, a couple goals in the game. Pretty good. I feel pretty good about Matt Boldy. What's he on pace for? He's got to be on pace for like mid-60s or more in terms of total points. I do believe he's back on pace to 30 goals again, which he wasn't for quite a while. 32 goals, 33 assists, 65 points. That sounds insanely familiar to last year, but hey, it's better than what he was earlier. He was always on pace for like 48 or something. It's like, really? 48 points? Baldy? 48 points? Okay. Again, really? And that's the contract that Fiala originally wanted. That's $7 million a year for like, oh, you know, 5 years, $7 million per or something. When the Wilds were like, no, we're going to have to hold off on that because we have other people to sign. And, well, it is what it is. We got Brock Faber, and we still have a nice, very nice lottery ticket in at the bare minimum, anyway, in terms of Liam Ugrin, which is actually how I defined Kevin Fiala at the time. He was like a lottery ticket, you know, like but a good one. One that you know, you're probably going to get something out of it, but how much? Ended up being a hell of a player. And then he ended up giving us possibly two hell of a players. We'll see how that turns out in that trade. That was probably the best trade in GM Bill Guerin's history so far of his career of the, you know, general manager and eventually president of hockey operations. Oops, why did I do that? That was, yeah, nice. Anyhow, yeah, but obviously nice job shutting down the Edmonton Oilers. Insanely impressive, I'd have to say. One of the better wins of the year. In fact, you could call this the feature presentation of the week, and I'm kind of late to the party with that. Oh, what the heck, play it.
And now, our feature presentation.
That's producer Joseph, or Joey Awajin right there. Producer Pels, you know, Joey, being a little late on the trigger with that one. But, oh, what the heck. Yeah, what do you expect when it's just a one-man show, right? Boldy with 23 goals on the year. Zuccarello with a rare goal with his 11th, but he's the greatest passer ever. It's funny, even Kirill Kaprizov joked about it, like, who is this guy? Pass. And then, you know, obviously they built a really nice relationship. But it was funny. That was like his initial impression of Matt Zuccarello when Kaprizov came to the NHL. Really nice little interview with Joe O'Donnell on the Minnesota Wild Radio Network, you know, the podcasting and such, what the podcast. So check that out. It's out there. It's very entertaining. I like it very much, actually. So I highly recommend it, and you can tell Kaprizov's becoming more and more comfortable. His English was already supposedly pretty decent when he got here, just probably wasn't completely comfortable. That's why he always had the translator, particularly when it's a bunch of people talking. Maybe you couldn't hear them real good anyway, so even more reason possibly for a translator. If you can hardly hear the people and it's, you know, your second language, you know, and that second language isn't as prominent yet because you just got here. Anyhow, Zach Hyman, 35 goals on the year. That's insanely impressive. Got the Oilers back in the game. McDavid, 66 assists, which is tops in the league. 35 goals is tops on the Oilers with Hyman. That's really high. No pun intended. Obviously, he's the other guy with Draisaitl and McDavid, but he's doing a hell of a job, too. You know, like the little Jari Kurri role there. But obviously, yeah, it's an impressive power play over there in Edmonton, up there in Edmonton. But unable to get the regulation win, or at least squeeze out a point from Minnesota. So a regulation win for Minnesota, no points at all for Edmonton for the first time since December, I believe. So pretty crazy. And when you consider their win-loss record isn't even all that great. Again, I repeat this every show. It just tells you how behind they were for a while. St. Louis did recently lose just last night to the Edmonton Oilers. So that kind of helps the Wild, but no, they got a point out of it. St. Louis got a point. It was a 3-2 overtime dilly. So that figures. Wild will have Nashville coming up, which is obviously as crucial as it gets if you're super worried about making the postseason. But I don't know. I mean, look at Nashville's record and look at ours. Nashville's almost 10 games above 500. We're 3. I mean, wahoo. So, I don't know. They're playing great, unfortunately. So, what have they won? Six in a row. So, that's how it is in hockey. I mean, that's how it is. You build a hole, and, you know, even if the other team starts losing, then you lose or whatever, or you don't win enough games to catch up, and then the other team gets hot again, and then you have some bad puck luck, like pucks coming off of players' faces going into your net. Seriously, like, that's what they call FaceTime, huh? Yeah, or the Face Shrine in Zelda Link's Awakening. That's the brand new, brand spanking new episode of Video Game Flashback, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. That was, I put a lot of work into that. That was my pride and joy. And, God, so do check that out if you have the time and all that. And you don't know, you do not have to listen to the whole episode in one sitting. That's one thing out there that drives me nuts. Like, why is the show so long? You don't have to listen to it all in one sitting. And you don't have to sit down and watch it. There's nothing to watch. You could be mowing the lawn. You could be mopping the floor. You could be going for a walk around Lake Calhoun or Bob Mayskar or whatever you call it. Or Mississippi River, as Kirill Kaprizov might do. Yeah, whatever. Like, some things are longer than others. It just is what it is. Speaking of which, I'm making this review longer than it needs to be with Edmonton. But nice win. Now the Wild head to Seattle. This team is weird. Like, okay, back-to-back, oh gosh, we're probably going to have a letdown in one of these. No, it's a 5-2 win. This team, with, you know, winning this easily, okay, I don't get it. Seattle's one of the teams that's competing with the Minnesota Wild for the postseason, and they're wearing an interesting third jersey there, one of their, like, reverse retro-type deals, where it looks a bit like the Seattle Metropolitans, and it's 100% chance that's what they were going for. It looks pretty cool. The really, really ancient Seattle team that did play in the National Hockey League many years ago and actually won a Stanley Cup. Yeah, they won a Stanley Cup. Yeah, yeah. How does that make you feel, Minnesota? Yeah, I know. I feel the same. Really? And it was like 100 years ago, but it still counts. I mean, the 1908 Chicago Cubs World Series counts too, so it does. Just ask their fans. Vince Dunn, the defenseman with 10 goals on the year, extremely early in the game, which is like, well, that's nice. That's just terrific. Great. Well, here comes the letdown. I mean, we just beat Edmonton. That's amazing, but here comes the bleeping letdown. No, Marcus Johansson, Sasquatch or whatever, the Casper the Friendly Ghost, whatever you want to call him himself, with his 9th goal of the season. And it's not because he's big. It's because you can't find him. Sasquatch, yeah. When it comes to Marcus Johansson, 9th goal of the season. That's all you need to know there. Tie game against his former club, actually. So, yes, that's what it's all about. It's, oh boy, we got to beat my former club. Kirill Kaprizov with a 25th goal of the year on the power play to make it 2-1. Boldy again, 23rd on the power play. The Wild power play has been fantastic. And we're going to keep looking at that as the flurry continued into the second period. 3 goals for the Wild. Even Dakota Mermis joining in on the party. Kirill Kaprizov with a 2nd goal. And Faber finally getting out of his drought. Brock Faber, who was just point, 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 like night in, night out. He's on pace for 30 points. He's on pace for 35. He's on pace for 40. He's on pace for 45. He's on pace for 50. Is he going to get to 60 points this year? And then it just came to a screeching halt, unfortunately. And finally a point for Brock Faber. What was it, about 5 or 6 games where he was pointless? And I don't mean that. I know that came out really funny. But he didn't have any points. Yeah, he wasn't pointless. He was very valuable. But no points for Faber. Finally factoring in with the 2nd assist on Kaprizov's 2nd goal of the game. Mermis again getting it up to 5-1. Jordan Eberle making the score a tiny bit prettier with a 5-2 loss for the Seattle Kraken. Eberle, Minnesota ties, of course, I believe. Yeah. And then Adam Larson, also the former Edmonton Oiler, kind of floating around and such. I still can't believe how much the Oilers gave up for Larson years ago. It's pretty wild in a weird way. But a 5-2 comfortable, solid win in whatever they call that place. Was it Climate Pledge Arena? So that's interesting. Grubauer was solid, as Joey Decord was beaten early and often by the Minnesota Wild, and Grubauer only gave up the 5th goal and faced 18 total shots. So actually, that's nice for Philip Grubauer. Good for him. Whereas Decord was pretty lousy, unfortunately, which is rare. He's been amazing, actually. He's been an amazing find for the Seattle Kraken, but not in this game. Fleury has been pretty damn solid for the Minnesota Wild all season, but again, you don't want to count on him too much. You know, you just don't. He's, you know, ancient history, unfortunately. Not trying to be rude. It's a fact. It's, you know, it's just how it is. Zuccarello with a whole pass again with, again, four total assists in the game, which is insanely impressive as his point totals continue to climb despite missing action earlier in the season for an extended period. The white screen of void. That's my favorite. Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. Zuccarello, 39 assists. Yeah, because he didn't miss that many games. He really didn't. Huh, well, he's on pace for 69 points and 54 assists. Impressive. So, yep, still kicking butt is Zuccarello, particularly with that playmaking ability. And then you have the Carolina Hurricane game. Was it a letdown? Kind of, sort of. Not really. I mean, they're really good. Carolina's really good. Second place in the Metropolitan Division, 35, 18, and 6 on the season with the Wild, 25 or 28, 25, and 6 on the year. And, yeah, I don't know, not the best. The Dewey brothers, are they trying to raise their trade value? Maybe. Chrisom also getting his fourth assist now with the Wild. Pretty cool, actually. Quite impressive. Dewey, Connor Tour, is he raising up his trade value now with the Kuznetsov addition? Eighth goal on the season. Oh, there with Ryan Hartman. Dewar and Duhame, obviously their value is... They're really nice players, and it would be really, really sad to see them go. But if you can get, you know, reasonable amount in return, something to consider, obviously. And it kind of is what it is. Right now, Kuznetsov is on the inactive... He's on the inactive list, basically, is what they call it. Because, well, first of all, you need his visa to clear and all that. That takes time, the paperwork and all that coming to the United States from Russia. But at least he's coming. Yeah, at least he's here and all that. But, yeah, we got to get the... Clear up the visa and all that to get, well, to officially get him here, so to speak. But the contract has been signed. But then after all that's done, you need a roster spot. There is no room. Somebody has to be waived or traded. But then again, as of March 8th, so in case we wanted to say, oh, shoot, but that visa's taking too long, or what the hell, you can extend the roster. So you can get by it by March 8th. But if you want to get him out there or on the active roster before that, well... Then you have to make some kind of move. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wild just kind of delay things, because I don't think we're in a huge rush to trade away one of the Dewey brothers. But unfortunately, again, one of the Dewey brothers that's real popular, obviously they both are. Well, they're both actually, yeah, free agents, aren't they? I believe Connor is a RFA. That would be restricted free agent. And Duhame absolutely is an unrestricted free agent, unfortunately. So, yeah, he was drafted years ago. He's a Chuck Fletcher draft pick. Brandon Duhame. So I still remember him with the Providence Friar. Is that what they're called? Yeah. The Providence. Yeah, Providence. Yep. I mean, I really like that team. I believe they're called the Friars. It's a nice team. Obviously, they had their they had some moments. They won a national championship years ago, but not when Duhame was there. And yes, it is the Friars. Like, I believe it's like Catholic. So the Friar. It's a funny outfit, kind of like Robin Hood days or something. Friar Tuck. Yeah, okay. Well, they're not air fryers or anything, so we'll get off of that now. but, yeah, I mean, that's kind of going to be the conversation now. Obviously, we'll get more into Kuznetsov here in a second. I just saw Connor Dewar, and that got me triggered here. Jordan Staal with his eighth goal of the year that tied things up. Obviously not Eric, only his eighth goal. Definitely not the offensive player that Eric Staal could be, particularly in his younger days. Jonas Rodin had multiple goals this week, including this one here, sixth goal of the year now, so good for him. He had his fifth goal earlier. Duhame, there it is. Yep, one of the Dewey brothers again, factoring in on the points. Only his third assist of the season. That's another Sasquatch, Casper the Friendly Ghost type of thing. Like, we'll call it Sasquatch. Three assists, pardon me, on the year for Duhame. It's weird. Just kind of putting the puck on net and scoring on occasion, but like, what did he have, one assist last year? It was really weird, where he had like two assists in like a calendar year, I think it was. It was like ridiculous. Seth Jarvis, nice physical player, 29 assists on the year on Svechnikov's 13th goal of the year. It's a lot of good players on Carolina that don't score a whole lot. It's kind of weird. Like Svechnikov is a really good player, but yeah, only 13 goals on the season, so that's always interesting and such. Terevinen's had an up and down year, definitely more down than up, but Carolina still is winning hockey games, so credit to them. Stefan Nussen, So also, yeah, but yeah, it's Revenant, only 21 assists out here. He's just, I don't know, it's weird. Kochetkov, yep, he's been a nice goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes. He faced 30 shots, and he made some pretty impressive stops during the power play and such, where the Wild would have opportunities, but just couldn't get it done. Kochetkov was outstanding, to be quite fair. He was outstanding in the net. I'd say he was the best player for the Carolina Hurricanes at the end of the day. I honestly would say that. And Jordan Staal winning 15 faceoffs, 15 out of 21 faceoffs is insane. Absolutely nuts. Eriksson Ek did not have his best day. The top line was completely shut down. But Eriksson Ek, again, in the Seattle game, almost had what looked like a possible shoulder injury. At first, I was thinking, like, gosh, did he break his wrist? Derek Felska, Derek of the, again, the Crease and Assist podcast. We'll talk about that shortly. Also, some more. Great show, man. Especially, yeah, like the most recent, that was fun. Yeah, he thought it was more of a shoulder, and that's probably the way Julie Eriksson Ek was leaning downward. But then right after the game, it looked like disaster. Like, oh, great. See you, Joel, or Jewel, excuse me. See you in April or whatever next year. God dang it, anyway. And it's like, and then here comes the press conference. John Hines, no, oh, he should be fine. It was kind of like that, like, he should be okay. You know, it's like, wow, okay, well, that's wonderful. And Joel Eriksson Ek goes out and plays. Unfortunately, he's a minus two, and the top line does diddly dookie for the first time in quite a while. Kaprizov did get six shots on net, even Joel Eriksson Ek again. So if it's a shoulder, was a shoulder type of situation, if he got four shots on net, that's encouraging. So, good. Hopefully it's not going to be a nagging injury. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Ryan Hartman, wonderful in the faceoff circle. Exquisite. 20%. Yep, 20%. Eight losses, two wins. It's just fantastic. Goudreau was the only one that actually won. Boldy 0 for 4, because obviously coming in when, you know, other players get kicked out, probably Ek. That's wonderful. Yep, and Boldy did play center somewhat in college, but was more of a winger. I don't know. It's just one of those games that got away, and it is what it is. They're really good. Carolina's good, and I did pick them to win the Stanley Cup, like, every year, practically, and I'm still waiting on the first one. Joe Pesci's cousin. No, it's Vinny, right? No, I'm just kidding. Pesci, the 22, I get a kick out of that. And speaking of number 22, that will be the number that Merit Husnadinov wears. Obviously, most recently by Kevin Fiala, of all people. The other one, a real prominent player, Kyle Clutterbuck. And I saw somebody list Kyle Clutterbuck as their favorite Wild player of all time. You have a right to your opinion, but really, Kyle Clutterbuck is your favorite Wild player of all time? I know we're not the 80s Oilers. I know we're not the Oilers, you know, like we didn't experience, you know, Gretzky, Messier, you know, Paul Coffey. We're not the early 90s Penguins. We didn't experience, you know, Lemieux, Mark Recchi, Kevin Stevens, Jaromir Jagr, like maybe you've heard of him. Paul Coffey there too. Larry Murphy. Yeah, Larry Murphy. Yeah, that's a painful one for me. The exquisite Jim Johnson before he was traded for Larry Murphy. Traded, boy. Pittsburgh really gave it up there. Whew, we really pulled one over on them, didn't we? Yeah, sure did. but no, I mean, the whole point is I understand we don't have like a million Hall of Famers or something on our in our history. But again, Cal Clutterbuck, really, that's the best you can do. I remember hearing in the past there were teammates that were tired of him because he was agitating the other team over and over and over again and never really like finishing it. You know, like you start something and you don't finish it. You let somebody else have to finish it, like in a fight or whatever. They get the penalty. They might get injured and such when you're like the one agitating the other team. I heard that didn't always sit well. At least years. I mean, obviously it's years ago, but still. When I saw that, I almost like, I almost started gagging. You know, I think we can do better. I think so. With that said, enough of that. The player of the week. Well, I should get into other topics first, though, but. the general topics and such. Again, Merit Husnadinov, and we'll talk about that also in the prospect segment, more than likely. Playoffs, I don't really see the playoffs as much of a thing. I don't. I mean, if they make it, they make it. Chrisom continues to look like a nice find, generally speaking. And Kirill Kaprizov was the star of the week, and that can kind of give you a hint as to where we're going. for the Mike McDonough Award. I pretty much just gave it away right there. It was a decent week for the Wild. It wasn't that bad. And Philip Gustafson, I thought, was pretty good this week after getting shelled last week in one of the games. He had one really good game and got shelled in the next one. It was like, what the hell? So it was kind of weird where he had to, you know, he had to get sat. That was against Vancouver. Had to get sat in favor of Fleury, which didn't help Fleury going into the next game. I don't know why I'm having trouble. It's kind of goofy. It's like, I just can't breathe. What the heck? But as for the Mike McDonough Award winner for this week, it's going to go to Kirill Kaprizov, the star of the week in the NHL. So that's awesome. The top star of the week in the National Hockey League. And he'll be the top star of this week as well for Brave the Wild. Mike McDonough Award winner. I know I probably should do it in the star thing too, but some days. Yeah, maybe someday I will switch it over. The James Tepper Memorial Popcorn Maker. I don't know. It's Freddie Goudreau. Well, it kind of is. I don't know. I mean, Hartman 2 of 8. That's funny, man. But he did have 2 assists versus Carolina. It's not like he's bad. He's really not. But is it Johansson? You could go with Johansson. I don't know. I mean, there was nobody that really was terrible necessarily this week. Even Merrill was, he just is what he is. He's below average, obviously, way below average. Grissom's been a nice find. We've talked about that 15 times now. Goudreau, well, he won some faceoffs, but again, just a non-factor like always. It just doesn't matter anymore. So it's kind of generally players like that. I don't really have anybody to get real ticked off at. It's just annoying, like Marcus Johansson, the way he comes and goes, and he scored a goal against his former team again. Yay! You know, whatever former team it was. Like, he'd score against us too, and I think he did, if I remember correctly, when he was gone after his first stint. So I think I remember that, actually, which was funny. It was like a joke. So we'll go with Marcus Johansson just for that. Kind of nonsense. Like, come on, man. Some consistency would be nice once in a blue moon. So with that, we'll take a quick break, and we got 3 games to preview coming up and into the prospects. We'll talk some more of Merritt Huznadinov. Here on Brave the Wild. And before we jump into anything else, here comes the DraftKings ad right here and right now. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. As for games coming up, here's a whopper right here. The Vegas Golden Knights at the Boston Bruins on the money line. Okay, I keep going back and forth between the puck line and the money line, so I don't know. Nobody ever says anything if they like one more than the other, so, well, we'll see. Vegas Golden Knights plus 130. This is at Boston. And minus 155. So, some of you that like the earlier games, that's a good one, right? For your ESPN Plus, but okay, sorry. or whatever you watch. New York Islanders are visiting Detroit, so both Eastern teams, of course. Oh, Detroit's Midwest. Money line again. Minus 105 for the Islanders. Minus 115 for the Detroit Red Wings. One of the best teams in the league right now. Again, Florida Panthers. Minus 340 hosting the Montreal Canadiens. Plus 270. Years ago, that would have been the polar opposite. But then again, when has Montreal really been good lately? Arizona, who's falling off the face of the earth. Plus 205 in Toronto. Minus 250 for the Maple Leafs, two outstanding teams in the Central, unfortunately. Dallas Stars, yeah, unfortunately, because I don't like either one of them at all. Dallas Stars, minus 135, they're hosting the Jets. Winnipeg Jets, of course, plus 114 there. The Wild at Nashville tonight. All right, Nashville, crucial game for Minnesota, minus 105 for us. Really? Okay, and minus 115 for Nashville. Interesting. Very interesting. The Canucks hosting the I don't know, they're falling off the face of the earth, LA Kings, for some reason. Plus 120 for the Kings in Vancouver, the West Coast, obviously. And minus 142 for the hosting Canucks, who the Wild scored 10 goals against Don't think that's going to happen again this year, but we'll have to wait and see. Some entertaining matchups, including the Wild versus Nashville, obviously, especially if you think the Wild are, you know, that they should make the playoffs. I mean, we have players. It's just, whatever. We'll get to that later. We've been babbling about that all season. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademark of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2004. All rights reserved. So, yes, indeed. Let's get our butts back into the upcoming games. We're going to wrap up the month of February. Literally, this is leap year day or leap day or whatever. It must be a presidential election year and Summer Olympics. Yeah, it is. We'll get off of both Summer Olympics. Well, they're kind of interesting, I guess. It's kind of interesting, but it can be. And the other thing is, you know, your own personal opinion. Anyhow, goals for the Wild are 16th in goals. Nashville is 15th. Goals against the Wild are 28th. Nashville's 20th. These all sound pretty similar, don't they? We'll get the scores here in a second. Power play, the Wild are now 13th. You know, when you consider how putrid and awful our power play was at the beginning of the year, and remember last year when it was like god awful, like what are you doing out there? At least in certain parts of the season. 13th. I mean, and I know that's like big deals, like in the middle practically. Yeah, but when it's always like 20 something, that's pretty good. Penalty kill 29th. Yeah, we knew that was coming. That's the other shoe dropping. 28th in penalty minutes. Come on, guys. 22nd for Nashville. Nashville's 21st in the power play and 27th in the penalty kill. I apologize for not mentioning that. The season is split so far between the two teams. The road team has won in both games. The road team. The Minnesota Wild were red hot. This was actually our first game. I believe this is John Hines' first game, or is it a second game? Second game, right? Because I think we beat St. Louis like in a close game first. And then we slaughtered the Nashville Predators because it's like, yeah, you know, John Hines' first game back in Nashville. I'll get you, sons of biscuits. 6-1 victory for Minnesota. That was awesome. But it feels like ancient history now with all the ups and downs since then. I mean, it has been all over the place. Nashville, this is one of the downs. 3-2 loss in Xcel Energy Center. Not the worst thing you ever saw, but the Wild didn't get a single point, damn it, in that game. So it's been a season split so far. This one is today, leap day or whatever the hell it's called, February 29th, 2024. I don't know how many February 29th episodes I have. Probably not too many, despite the fact this show is old. The show started in April, or maybe officially September 2008. This is a very old podcast, if you didn't know. Just keep scrolling back and scrolling, but you're like, oh my God, it's that old? Yeah, it is. Yes. Yes, I'm 44 years old now. What was I, like 30? I was like 29. I was 29. Yeah, remember? But I'm still 29. Remember how people always try to tell you that crap? It's like gray hair all over it. Yeah, I'm 29. Yeah, sure you are. Next, March the 10th, Sunday, the Wild will host the Nashville Predators in a matinee. Oh, goody. I just love matinees. Just love them. They're nice and everything, but okay. Wild are 3-2 in our last five. The Nashville Predators have won 6 in a row. If I remember correctly, it might even be 7 now. No, 6. It's a lot. Okay, they beat the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. Los Angeles, these are all road games, by the way. Los Angeles, 4-1. San Jose, oh, wow, 4-2. Anaheim, 4-2. And then hosting the Ottawa Senators, 4-1. They are keeping their opponents down, 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 and they're scoring 4 or 5 goals in every game. So that's just a polite clap. It's impressive. Good for them. And, well, if they want to knock us out of the playoffs, so be it. As for injuries, well, Merritt, who's in Kuznetsov, not injury-related, it's called Visa. Zach Bogosian, he's not been playing for a while, hasn't he? Yeah, he's not been playing for, I don't think he played a game this week, did he? So, it's been a minute. Actually, he did. Yeah, it's been up and down, but he's been very barely visible, pardon me. Foligno, injured reserve. Maroon is out for like another month or so, unfortunately, and then Spurgeon is out for la saison. Nashville, again, to be polite and respectful, it says no injuries. This is called knocking on wood. Yeah, I don't want to be rude to them. I'm not a big fan, but I'm not. They drive me nuts, but still. No injuries. Yeah, it's so silly. UC Soros, 2.91 goals against average, mediocre. Like I was saying, both teams are giving up a lot of goals. 90.5 in percentage. And Soros has 2 shutouts on the season. Obviously, again, he was a wonderful goalie of the future. Now, eventually, he's going to be replaced by the outstanding youngster, Yaroslav Askarov. Yep, that rolls right off your tongue, actually. Yep, he came out in the Marco Rossi draft, and I remember he was the big-time goalie. And then, what was it, a year later, the big-time goalie was a guy named Jesper Wallstedt, who is the Minnesota Wild's player and, obviously up-and-comer in Iowa, who won't be too long from playing here. Askarov has had some moments so far. He's been in 2 games, by the way. The elite prospect, of course. Literally an elite prospect. 1.47 goals against average and a save percentage of 94.3. So nice little start to his NHL career, which... Yeah, Wallstedt gave up 7 goals. Wallstedt. That sucks. Anyhow, Lankinen also, I believe he's been on the Blackhawks and other clubs over the years. 8-4 record, but a 3.23 goals against average. Save percentage of 89.0, but 8-4, so the club must have been scoring goals. Philip Forsberg is a point-a-game player for the Nashville Predators. 60 games, 60 points, 32 assists, 28 goals. Outstanding. Roman Rossi, remember, he's a defenseman, 57 points. He's on pace for, 75 plus. 14 goals, 43 assists. Who's the third leading scorer on the team, who's tied with Ryan O'Reilly, the guy who helped the St. Louis Blues win their first Stanley Cup back in 2019. And that was a fun playoff run to watch. It really was. Who's tied with Ryan O'Reilly? Former Minnesota Wild forward, Gustav Nyquist. That's right. 13 goals, 33 assists. Remember, he's a wonderful passer. But he can score as well. But yeah, wonderful, wonderful passer. I loved him. I loved Gustav Nyquist when he was here for that short time. He was so good. He was outstanding. And isn't he like in his mid-30s, like 33, 34 already? But 49 points. He's having a hell of a year. And man, that would have been nice. That would have been nice. You know, why couldn't we sign him instead of bleeping Johansson, huh? Why not? You know, forget about Goudreau and Johansson. Take that money, give it to Nyquist. Okay, I don't know. But, well, if you want to make the playoffs so damn bad and it's all about Fing winning, well, then Fing sign the right Fing player. Golf Fing, dang it. Anyhow, that's about it, though. Cody Glass, yeah, he was the first ever, major draft pick for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's got 6 points in 32 games. Well, if that ain't glass, I don't know what is. That's a glass ceiling, huh? Smash. Smash. That's too bad. Sorry, Cody. I don't mean to be a jerk, but I don't know. The Wild at Nashville. Well, if the trend continues, the road team wins. Road team wins, but that also means the trend continues versus the Wild in a couple weeks on March the 10th. I don't know. We're going to win in Nashville. It's like we never do, we? Okay, we're going to... I don't know. They're on a red hot streak. Maybe the Wild do get a win here. I'll say the Wild, I don't know. I am just bouncing here on this one. No, the Wild did not win this game. No, I'm sorry. I'll be honest. 4-2. Yeah, I know it's a lame score. 4-2, Nashville beats the Wild. 5-3, Nashville beats the Wild. The Wild get 3 goals, power plays, and all that cute stuff. Kirill Kaprizov has a multi-goal game for Kirill the Thrill, but the Wild do not win the game, unfortunately. Because I don't see the Wild going 3-0 this week. I'd be shocked because I think these next two games are ever winnable. Winnable. March the 2nd, St. Louis, Saturday at 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening. Interesting. So it gives you time to do stuff afterward, I suppose, in St. Louis or in Minnesota, depending on if you're following the team there or you're a Blues fan or whatever. I don't think Blues fans are listening to this show, but maybe once in a blue moon. That was not intended. It really wasn't. St. Louis Blues, well, they're what, 1 point ahead of Minnesota right now in the standings. I was just looking at it. I'm going to go back. Yeah, Nashville is 6 points ahead of Minnesota. St. Louis is just one. That's it. So a chance for Minnesota to overtake the Blues, I guess, which is nice and everything. We move up to fifth place. So, we'll see. But it depends on what St. Louis does in between now and then as well. Blues have been a pain in the butt for the Wild forever. Again, no injuries. What's up with that? But, you know, obviously guys are playing hurt. Hello. Like, gee, this guy doesn't have, like, a massive bruise on his wrist from, like, getting hit by a stick or something or a puck or ankle or whatever the heck. No, nobody. They're all in perfect shape. Guaranteed, right? Nobody's got strained hamstrings, like, a little bit. Strain, ST, where it's, like, not injured, just hurting. Yeah, nobody. They're all healthy. Yeah, right. 3-1 win for Minnesota is the only game so far. We got three games against the Blues up and coming. Interesting. And I guess, suppose we have a lot of games versus the Sharks, too. So don't lose those if you're so worried about making the playoffs and picking lower in the draft, I guess. Yay. this last one was, again, yeah, that's the very first game John Hines ever coached for Minnesota, 3-1. So there it is. 3-1 win. Very kind of a quiet, solid, nice performance by the Minnesota Wild hosting the Blues. With John Hines behind the bench for the first time. The Blues are 22nd in goals, 16th in goals against, 24th in the power play, 17th in the penalty kill, kind of opposite us, 3rd about staying out of the box. Very impressive stat. Third. They have 250, approximately, less penalty minutes than the Minnesota Wild. Oh, that's all. You know, okay, 245. Oh, sorry about that 5 there. That was one of Duhame's fights, I guess, that we just forgot to... that one didn't count. Just kidding. wow. 250 penalty minute difference between the Blues and the Wild. And, you know, I think years ago it was like the opposite, wasn't it? Or maybe not. We were, like, both really bad about it. But the Blues have been pretty disciplined, to be fair. It's impressive, eh? It is. The Blues, I think this is a winnable game. Very much so. Wouldn't be surprised if the Wild do win this one in a relatively low-scoring fashion. Something along the likes of, are you ready? 3-2. 3-2. The Wild will beat the St. Louis Blues 3-2. Lower-scoring game. Robert Thomas, 68 points. Insanely impressive season with 48 assists for Les Blues. And he's played in every game again, knocking on wood. Don't want to be mean. Bucevic, 48 points, also 24 and 24 for goals and assists, respectively. Jordan Kyra, who was a leading scorer at times last year, with 47, still super good. 19 goals, 28 assists, kind of off to a slow start to the season, but has improved. The former Bruin, Torrey Krug, 2 goals and 28 assists on the season. Nick Leddy, former Wild draft pick, who never played a minute here, left the Gophers early, kind of got banged up and stuff. And, yeah, I know, it's a long history. And we got the, what did we get, like, didn't we get, like, Cam Parker or something? It was like, yeah, Chicago Blackhawks, right? Cam Parker, yeah, I don't want to remember that. It was wonderful, wonderful trade, right? Great. Well, he was a 3rd overall pick, remember? Another former Blackhawk, Brandon Saad, could drive you crazy. 17 goals and 9 assists. He's one of those third-line guys who can agitate, yet he's only got 16 penalty minutes. So he'll agitate you. But not get in the box as much. But he's not really nearly as visible as he was years ago with the Blackhawks. Like, everybody knew who Brandon Saad was then. Now it's like, who's that again? Oh, that guy. I forgot about him, right? 1-4 in their last 5 games are the St. Louis Blues. So, again, I think the Wild can help knock the Blues down below us for the first time in a long time anyway. Their only win was against the Islanders, 4-0. Other than that, they've given up 4 goals in pretty much every game since then, except a 3-2 loss to Edmonton super recently, a 6-1 demolition loss at Detroit. So, classic matchup, though. St. Louis-Detroit, like the old Norris division. Memories, man. Memories. Oh, Blues and Red Wings, classic. Blackhawks and Red Wings. Blackhawks and Blues, classic. Oh, and then this one team they called the North Stars, too. So classic. Good old days, man. Really, the real good old days. Pierre Paget, who ended up coaching forever after leaving the North Stars. It's interesting. I don't think he wanted to be here, if I remember correctly. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. The Wild will beat the Blues. The most likely guy to score is going to be... I'm going to step on a weird one. Now, Chrisom. Chrisom's going to score a goal for the Wild. Second goal of the season. So Chrisom, number 47, will score for Minnesota versus the St. Louis Blues. And it's going to be a crucial one. Maybe it'll be the go-ahead and winning goal for the Minnesota Wild. San Jose Sharks, Xcel Energy Center, 6 p.m. I didn't look at the future games for the Blues. I apologize. Really fast. I'm babbling too much. Okay, so yeah, March the 2nd. Then you have March the 16th. That's St. Louis. Yeah, both of these games are on the road, by the way. So, okay. Well, I think the Wild will beat the Blues. March 16th and Saturday, March 23rd. So this is going to go pretty fast during the month of March. The season will be over. Season series will be over. March 23rd at 2 p.m. Okay, enough. On to the... what do they call them? The Sharks, 15-37-5 on the year. Dead, bleeping last, 8th place in the Pacific Division, which is a pretty good division if you didn't know. Oh boy, get ready for some amazing numbers, which could be interesting. 6 p.m. Sunday. Fun. I like these Sunday night kind of games. It'd be even more fun if it was a little later, but that's fine. 6 p.m. is fine, right around dinner time. And, you know, crack open a Sierra Nevada this or a Founders that. Stay away from the Coors and Millers and all them. They're crap. But maybe that's what you like. Whatever. San Jose Sharks, they do have injuries, including to their best player, Thomas Hertl. Injured reserve as of Feb the 12th. Vlasic, still there. The former, the pickle man, Mark-Edward Vlasic, did not play recently against, Feb 27th. Mackenzie Blackwood, the goaltender, injured reserve just recently, like yesterday. So, it's not working out. So we're probably going to have Kaapo Kähkönen in net versus the Minnesota Wild coming up. So we'll see how that turns out. Pardon me. Interesting club. Very interesting. You ready? You ready for something? Ready for some fun? 32nd in goals. 32nd in goals against. They only have 119 goals on the season. You know, the Wild are okay. 185 or 16th, right? 119. Goals against, they've given up 218. But not much worse than the Wild, ironically, but... worse. 32nd. Assists, which is a stat I never bring up. They only have 198, which is dead last in the league. The Wild have not played the Sharks once this year. It's a three-game series because it's a divisional but same conference. It's non-divisional but same conference, sorry. Sunday, March the 3rd. Thursday, March 28th at 7 in X Energy Center. Those are both in the X. And then Saturday, April 13th, the Wild head out to Northern Cal on Saturday at 9:30. Fun. I love those. It'll be just kind of a tune-up. Who's the Dinoff be out there, like on the top line because the season's over? This team is filled with Minnesota Wild rejects one way or another, and I'm not trying to be rude to them. It's just the way it is. It's particularly Granlund. I don't consider him a reject necessarily, but we did kind of move on from him, and it ended up being a great trade. So all the credit in the world to a man by the name of Paul Fenton, the much maligned Paul Fenton. Leading scorer of the Sharks, again, Thomas Hertl. He's their best player, but he is also on injured reserve. 15 goals, 19 assists for 34 points, but he's a minus 26. Kind of reminds you of the Iowa Wild or the Heartlanders last year. They're basically what last year's Heartlanders were, giving up like 4 goals a game and scoring like 1 or 2. It's like, oh, this is so fun. This is so much fun. Oh, they lost 4-1. Oh, they lost 5-1. Oh, 4-0. Oh, it's so much fun to watch. So, yes, that's the other side of things. When you tank, it sucks and it's boring. Like, there's just nothing going on. Nothing. Like, you hope there's some kind of a cool prospect coming up and all that, but... and maybe they're on the team now and we're still losing, but they're going to get better. I don't know. Does Luke Cunningham make you excited? 52 games, 10 points. Multiple ACLs throughout his career, and I'm not trying to rip on him. Nico Sturm, 38 games, 9 points. Kalen Addison, 36 games with the Sharks now, 9 points. Kalen Addison. All these names sound awfully familiar, right? Mike Hoffman has been all over the place. I don't know if it's what happened with him. Like, he was so good years ago with the Ottawa Senators. But I don't know. He started getting traded a lot. I don't know if he's like not a popular person. I thought I heard something like that. I don't know. Or he's just not that good. I don't know. But I don't know what the heck happened with Mike Hoffman. He was good, man. 8 goals, 10 assists, 18 points. He is a defenseman, by the way. I did say Mikhail Granlund, 7 goals, 25 assists with 32 points. He's actually one of the better ones in the plus-minus. Only a -9, which actually is pretty good, considering 10 assists on the power play, no goals. Mario Ferraro, that sounds kind of cool. That rolls right off your tongue. 1 goal and 13 assists in 53 games. And the other major player who's probably going to be a net versus Minnesota with McKenzie being out, Kaapo Kähkönen, remember? And I liked Kaapo Kähkönen a lot. And he was pretty good here for the most part, but some nights he was just a guy, which some people are saying about Gustafsson this year, who has been a major disappointment this season. I said it. He has been a major disappointment. I'll keep saying it, too, until otherwise. But, yeah, he's been better lately. But six wins, 18 losses, 3.63 goals against average, no shutouts. Save percentage, miraculously, is 90, though, considering the circumstances. But, see, because it's the play in front of Kähkönen hasn't helped. But Kähkönen, obviously, again, I mean, I don't know. He could be better. But I suppose, again, the way things are with the Sharks right now, it's literally a dumpster fire, you know. It just is. It's a dumpster fire season for the Sharks. Seems like yesterday they were a fairly competitive team, and then all of a sudden they just started dropping off. And now, the last 2 or 3 years, they've been worse than the expansion Sharks. I mean, that club was fairly competitive. Within a couple of years, they were knocking Detroit out. Number one record in the league. They were knocking them out in the first round. Remember? Gaetan Duchesne was on that club, former North Star, of course. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy. No reason the Wild should lose to the Sharks, but maybe we will. The Sharks have lost, they have lost 4 in a row. They beat Calgary most recently, 6-3. Wow. I wonder how Flames fans were booing the hell out of them. This was in Calgary, the Saddle Dome and stuff. 6-3 to the Sharks. Ooh. Wow, that is bad. Kind of like the playoffs years ago, right? Or was that against the... That was against the Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights blew like a big lead. Something crazy happened. What was it with like Pavelski? Like he got knocked down or whatever. It was like some kind of concussion type of deal. It was not intentional. But of course, the Sharks players and fans kind of pretended it was. And it created a major motivation. It took the Sharks all the way to the West Finals, if I remember correctly. It was insanely impressive. Or did Colorado knock them out? I can't remember. It was a great series. Great series. I remember thinking, oh, Colorado and San Jose, that sucks, but it ended up being a great series. Anyhow, 4-3 loss to Columbus, 4-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights, 4-2 to Nashville, and the struggling New Jersey Devils, nice way to kind of come out of their doldrums. They've been struggling. They're not even in the playoffs right now. It's weird. 7-2 victory for the New Jersey Devils, so hopefully that can help get things going, and this could be a nice one for the Wild as well. 5-1, Minnesota beats the Sharks 5-1. Should I pick anything crazy? Hat trick for Matt Boldy. This feels like a Matt Boldy game. You know, I mean, we always play the Sharks in March, always. And it's the March of Boldy, right? You know, last year, March, you know, Boldy was incredible. Maybe he gets 40 goals this year. Like, he has another huge month of March, and he gets to 40 goals or close to it, like almost like 38 or something, 70 points. But if the March of Boldy is back, hat trick versus the Sharks. And the Wild went 5-1. With that, let's jump into the prospects now, if humanly possible. The Minnesota Wild again. He will be with Minnesota, and his name is Marek Kuznetsov. He is not going to Iowa because the KHL is close enough to being in the AHL anyway. In fact, arguably, it's better than the AHL. So what's the point? That'd be like being demoted, wouldn't it? You're certainly getting paid less. So, like, that's not going to happen. Marek Kuznetsov is going to the National Hockey League, and it's the right move. But when? That's the question. Bill Guerin was going to say it depends and such. And obviously, probably by, at the latest, March 8th, he will be a member of the Minnesota Wild one way or another. Like, on the actual active roster. He is a 200-foot player, is Marek Kuznetsov. 200-foot player, we've always talked about. He's a great skater, really good defender, but he's also capable of scoring as well. It's not like, oh, he never scores. Yeah, he does. He looks a hell of a lot different than he does in his picture. His team looks, when you look at his jersey, at least in the picture on what do they call it, hockey database. He looks like he's on the New York Rangers or something. He looks way different now. He's got a lot more facial hair, whereas in that picture, he's just a young 18-year-old, clean-shaven. He looks a lot more rugged now, which is fine, and he does play more of a rugged style of hockey. But again, to go along with the rugged style, which is more of a third, you know, he could play second and third line. They see him as a middle six or at least a top nine kind of guy, so third line maybe to start at the bare minimum. But the skating ability is something that could, skating ability, and clearly he does have offensive skill. And the explosive skating ability that he does have, and the fact he's pretty good in the faceoff circle, can get him to the second line, possibly. But right now, you have Joel Eriksson Ek, who obviously is a top six, if not top three. I'd say he's top three. Marco Rossi, who also deserves to be top six. So it's not a, you know, finally, you know, it's a, maybe a good problem to have. Like, let guys beat each other out. Let one guy move to, maybe they can move back and forth, Rossi and Kuznetsov, depending on Kuznetsov's success level. But obviously, starting out, there's no way Kuznetsov is going to unseat where Marco Rossi should be, which is on the second line. Of course, Rossi's been moved all over the place. He's been on the line with Lucchini and Lettieri, which isn't necessarily, you know, it worked out fine for Rossi. He ended up scoring goals, but we'll have to wait and see. But the Kuznetsov addition is exciting. Unfortunately, you do burn one of the years of his, you know, entry level. So that's the sucky part, but so eventually we're going to have, like, in 5 minutes practically, just like with Kirill Kaprizov, we got to sign him. Yep, but at least it's the summer of 25, so if he ends up being really good and you got to sign him for more than, you know, $3 million a year or something, well, the money will be there. So at least I think it will be. I think it will be, depending on how much we're going to sign Faber, but, well, Maybe it won't be $8 million a year for Faber. I kind of hope it doesn't have to be that much, but we'll just have to let that play out, I guess. With that said, as we're going to stay overseas, if humanly possible, with Liam Ogren. He is somebody, like, there was conversation that, you know, contract talks with Vancouver's Elias Pettersson could get real interesting, but I don't know, would we even have the cap space, even with, like, we make enough of a trade? So we might have to, I mean, we'd have to throw in some players with money, wouldn't we? To have to throw in, and then, of course, a very high-end prospect, which, my guess would be it'd be Ogren, if the Wild went that direction. It would possibly be Ogren that could get traded. I can't imagine us giving away Yurov, but I guess you never know. And then again, watch Ogren be phenomenal, you never know. 21 games, 9 goals now. 9 goals, all right. And 9 goals and 4 assists in the Swedish Hockey League right there. That's the professional level for Sweden at age only 20. So, yep, we'll see how that turns out for him. Danila Yurov, I believe it's at least another year. And then after that, Danila Yurov just might come to North America around maybe, who knows, maybe around this time next year or a little later. We'll have to wait and see. But that would be unbelievable. He is a winger, though. He's not a center. So, Kuznetsov obviously is a center. No complaining about getting an outstanding winger, though. 62 games, 21 goals, 28 assists. Season is wrapped up, I believe, there in Metalurg. So, we have 49 points total in 62 games. Outstanding season for somebody his age. At age 20, extremely cool. Last year, obviously, 2 years ago, was it like no points? And then last year, kind of quiet, but, you know, kind of back and forth to the MHL and eventually finished in the KHL, which is wonderful. For a year off, but at the end of the day, yeah, he's really taking steps forward, and it is extremely exciting. Kuznetsov, also, it is the maximum amount allowed for entry level, by the way. So $925 for this year, which obviously, again, counts this year, and then the next year, $925. So he'll be out of Minnesota next year for sure. It's called the non-roster. That's what it's called. 21 years of age, and he becomes a restricted free agent in the summer of 25, which is when the Wild's cap situation will be better, to say the least. It will be different. It won't be as rough. So the cap hit from Parisi Suter will be 1.66 per hour, you know, and that goes all the way up until 2029, I do believe. So it's a little bit of a cap hit. That's a player, you know. 1.6 is a player. It's not a star, but it's still a piece. So there's that. Yeah. Oh, what did I do? Oh, that's fine. No, it's not fine. Go back where you were. Dang it. Sorry, I didn't want to close that yet. But let's look at the other prospects or prospects or whatever you want to call them. We'll go to Iowa for now. Nick Batan is still leading the club in scoring.
Iowa lost again for the 900th time. Damon Hunt, 13 total points. Beckman of 27 now. 15 goals on the season. Damon Hunt is leading the defenseman in scoring. Tied with Simon Johansson all of a sudden. Where did he come from? He is a minus 19, which is better than it was before, I suppose. And like I said, last night Iowa lost again 3-2, but it was an overtime loss. Yay, but still in last place. Adam Raska, what was it, like his third goal of the year? Yay. Kaden Bankier also scored, so that's always nice to see him going. And Johansson, that's why his numbers have been kind of creeping up. He's been getting a few assists, obviously. That's pretty much what he's got. 13 of those. No, 8 of those. 5 goals, surprisingly, as well. So that's always nice, I suppose. But they're not winning games down there at all. Everybody's minus this and minus that. Johansson actually is tied with Patton for the worst, which is weird. Patton's the leading scorer. Milne, 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points. He's kind of a fast guy. He's kind of like Kuznetsov a little bit, but as a winger. But not as good, obviously. He'd probably be dominating the AHL, wouldn't he, I would think. I bet Kuznetsov would dominate the AHL. Jesper Wallstedt, goals against average 2.83, kind of around Fleury's level thus far. So let's get off of Iowa. They've not been that good. Ben Kier, though, yep, quietly. Okay, coming back again. 7 goals, 6 assists, 13 points. He's been climbing up very slightly. But again, Iowa's not quite as bad as the Sharks, but kind of similar. They don't score much, and they get scored on. So too much to too little, as Little League coaches like to tell you. Too much to too little. Pavel Novak with the ECHL's Iowa Heartlanders. 8 goals, 8 assists, 16 total points, and he's a minus 14. Yep, both of the Iowas have not been all too special, unfortunately. There's also been talk about a guy by the name of... Where'd he go? Second-round pick. First off, yep, I believe. Wasn't he signed as well? So, we'll see. There's a conversation about him. We'll get to that in a minute. I'll leave him up maybe shortly. He's got 35 points this year in 67 games, but way more games than last year. So, he's productive in the KHL, but I don't think he's anything super special. Benoit, 1 point in 15 games. Let's just move on. Whatever. Pert, 11 points. Now 3 goals, 8 assists in 30 games. That's with the, what do they call them? The St. Cloud State Huskies. Petrovsky, 46 games, 45 points, 15 goals, 30 assists for the Owen Sound Attack of the OHL. Good for him. Spashik again with Iowa. Yep, don't talk about him too much yet. But yeah, he's developing. He's got a skill set, and he's minus 10, which is better than some of the Iowa players, I guess. 2 goals, 4 assists in 42 games. He does have offensive talent, but it's not showing up yet at the AHL level, unfortunately. Healy for Halvard. 26 games, 21 points, and he is a defenseman. 9 goals, 12 assists. 9 goals for a defenseman in college at age 19 is pretty impressive, actually. So give him credit where it's due. Lorenz, again, small steps forward this year as a left winger with a very high-end Denver Pioneers team, unfortunately. 9 goals, 10 assists. I do not like Denver, if you didn't notice. But good for him. Hunter Haight, yeah, points a game. He's a point-a-game player where he was ahead of that last year by 9 points. This, you know, again, I feel Hunter Haight's been a little disappointing. 21 goals, 36 assists in 15 more games than last year, and he's only got 6 more points. So do the math there. It's not the best thing you ever saw. Jimmy Clark with the Gophers, yep, 9 points in 32 games. 4 goals, 5 assists anyway. Calum Parker, Moose Jaw Warriors of the WHL. He's a right shot defensive with 33 points, and he's age 19. So he's productive at the WHL, which is cool. 6 goals, 27 assists, and he's a plus 16, which is way ahead of last year. So good for Parker. Punk with the Duluth Bulldogs, who are not in national contention at the moment. 2 goals, 14 assists. About a half a game player as a defenseman, so not too bad. With a unfortunately struggling Duluth club. And there it is, Riley Height, 100 points. 100, hundo. And, he's played 12 less games than last year so far. And he's already 3 points ahead, 68 total assists, 32 total goals, which is well ahead of last year. 100 points, plus 29 on the year for Riley Height for the Prince George Cougars of the WHL. Kumpalainen, yep, he's definitely fallen off. He was a point-a-game player. Now he doesn't score at all anymore. 24 goals, 19 assists. He's been stuck at the same thing. what is it, like 3-4 games now with no points at all. So that's unfortunate. And Charlie Strommel, again, well, he's now at 8 points. Congratulations. 3 goals, 5 assists for Charlie Strommel. Finally got something last week. He's a -4 versus a -10 last year. Not really ripping on him. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. So we'll see. I mean, it's unfortunate, though. Like last year, you thought, oh, it's just a bad freshman year and it was a terrible team. And then this year, it's a totally different, way better club. They're ranked higher than the Gophers. That being the Wisconsin Badgers, anyway, with Mike Hastings as coach. 8 points in 28 games. I don't know. He's not a stay-at-home defense, and he's a center. So he's not Jonas Brodin or whatever, you know. He's not Pert, who's actually a really good stay-at-home defenseman type with the St. Cloud. I call him St. Louis, St. Cloud State Huskies, who like to call us rodents. Thank you very much. At least their fan base does. And that's okay. Go right ahead and call us rodents. it's so great. That should be the end of the... Yeah, that'll be the end of the prospects. But again, very excited about Marinus Dinoff. Who's Nadinov coming to Minnesota? And when he plays, I guess we'll find out. It's not going to be at least for a few games at the end of the day. So we'll come back now for some fan interaction conversation. Back here on Brave the Wild. Time to jump straight into fan interaction at Brave the Wild. At Brave the Wild, also on Instagram, it's BraveTheWild_MN. BraveTheWild_MN for Instagram. So do give those a follow if you could. It'd be greatly appreciated. Trying to get this loaded, but of course, hashtag BTWMN is the way to keep things organized. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be completely organized, so I'm going to try my best to not miss. So some people that have been replying, please put hashtag BTWMN. It makes a huge difference. Where is it? Okay, so, yep, I want to thank, yeah, it's nice to thank people that retweet. I think it's, you know, only, you know, it's so appreciated. Repost, I guess they call it now. Morty, Emin Johan, Derek Felska, Jay Bushy, Tom Hayen, Vince Germano, and Rick, thank you guys so much for retweeting. I really appreciate you. I really do, and I mean that sincerely. I'm getting stuck here. Daniil Yurov set a new KHL record for most points in a season by an under-21 player. That's awesome. So, yep, very cool. Derek Felska says, certainly a nice thing to see. Unfortunately, we have to wait another season after this one before he comes over. So, yes, there's that. That is a fact. Morty says, has he officially signed his contract extension? There was talk he was, but haven't heard he did. Derek Felska says, I think it's rather likely, yeah. And then Morty says, I keep hearing that, but I'm holding out hope until I hear he did. So, yep. That would be, again, Daniil Yurov. Danila Yurov, not Daniil. So, I posted a winter hat that I got recently from the Atlanta Flames. Well, it's not from the Flames, but it's about the Atlanta Flames, or it's an Atlanta Flames winter hat. Very comfortable little thing as well. I was saying, how can you not love this? BTW, hashtag Atlanta Flames, all that cute stuff. Derek Velasco says, Anoka used the Atlanta Flames logo for years. I agree, it looks terrific. Yep, it does, doesn't it? I think it's a wonderful. So, sticking on the retro logos conversation, I posted a poll. Unfortunately, I only had it last 2 days or a day or something. That was a mistake. So if you don't change the days, it's like a day and a half or something. It's really short. What is your favorite non-North Stars defunct team and logo? Atlanta Flames, Hartford Whalers, Quebec Nordiques, and California Golden Seals. So I stuck with the teams from around like the 70s-ish. So, you know, that started around the 70s and, you know, into the 90s or whatever. So that's basically with the Nordiques and the Whalers. So California was gone real early, obviously. They eventually became the Sharks, though, eventually. And I always talked about that weird metamorphosis situation after they moved to the Cleveland Barons as well. Cleveland Barons were an NHL team. Yep. So, number one, Hartford Whalers, 64.5. The Whale has been restored, or whatever you'd call it. Gotta love that. Number two, the Quebec Nordiques, which we hope someday will be an NHL team again via somebody moving or expansion. 25.8%. Third place, my Atlanta Flames, 6.5%. What the heck? But no, I love Hartford and Quebec as well. I actually have hats for all three of those. And the California Golden Seals coming in last, 3.2%. They were so short-lived. It wasn't like the best logo, but it was kind of cool. Kind of a cool idea. And again, it's ultimately became the Sharks. Derek replies with, in my opinion, this is a three-way race. Quebec, Hartford, and Atlanta. Quebec, the Igloo, and the Fleur list are so good. Yep, Fleur de list are so good. But the Whale H logo was fantastic. Atlanta / Anoka A is rock solid. Yep, they are great choices, aren't they? So, yep, asking people for thoughts. I think there's one or two of them that did not have the hashtag, so I'm going to, hopefully I can dig in here. Yeah, Morty, because he didn't put the hashtag, so I'll get to those at the beginning, just for that sake. Morty says, first off, I want to know the status of first off. Is Yurov trying to negotiate a better deal with the Wild since he hasn't signed his extension with, the KHL? What realistically could we get in a trade for Fleury and others? Would anyone take Goudreau off our hands? I would hope we could get rid of Goudreau for cash considerations. That's what I'm hoping for, to start off with. Fleury, I could imagine a third-round pick. That's just my guess. Maybe I'm ignorant, but that's just what I'm thinking. Maybe a third-round pick. I mean, it's not going to be too much, but third round is better than nothing for sure. At his age, and it'd be for like a rental type of deal, and then retires or whatever. He says he doesn't want to be traded, so we'll see how that turns out. First off, he wants to know about first off. What do you mean? No, I'm just kidding. I know, first off. Vladislav, first off, what exactly the status? Right now he's in the KHL for sure. 35 points, 67 games, 17 goals, 18 assists, the plus one on the year. I think Derek replied in there. Let me see what he had to say. Yes, Morty said, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. Derek did reply. First off, is under contract, so if he plays for anyone at this point, it would have to be with the Minnesota Wild. Yep. I think so, too. Yeah, he would not be in Iowa. He would be with Minnesota. And I bet he would make the team. I do believe first off would make the team, but I could see him as more of a middle six at absolute best and like a winger. Yeah, like I think he's a third-line winger in the NHL. First off, I don't think he's going to be anything special, but he would play some second because he's more of a skill player, but he's not great though. He's not like a high-end scorer. As for Yurov, it's hard. Yep, this is Derek. As for Yurov, it's hard to say, although it's not like Metallurg is offering him the world. Maybe a second and prospect for Fleury. Well, that would be pretty good. And Derek was saying probably not. What was that one? Oh, yeah, could we get Goudreau off our hands? Probably not. Yeah, I bet we probably couldn't even get rid of him for cash considerations, could we? Isn't that crappy? And we're not going to buy him out, because we've done enough of that, I suppose. It wouldn't even be that big of a buyout, but it's just, it would linger forever. Because doesn't it, like, double the years or something? So, yeah, it's like you eat it for, like, a couple of years, like the $2 million, which is, just a pain in the ass. And then you have several years afterward where it's like half of it or like a fraction of it just lingering until like 2035. It'd be something crazy like that, I think. And then, Derek was saying, kind of like this guy, although he's probably not as funny. Yep. That's a familiar. Yep. Interesting. So, that was cool. Yep, glad I got to that one. I didn't want to miss it, so I wanted to jump into the replies. Now we can go to the hashtag BTWMN. Because, not everybody does the hashtag, which is okay. I mean, I prefer you do, just to make it easier. Tom Hayen is on board. He says, Freddie Goudreau, please explain. Ooh. Well, yeah. The What's-His-Face was in love with him. That would be a guy named Dean Evason. And he had a good year last year. And that was the only good year he ever had. Yeah. That's like... That was the only good year he ever had, and we were sold on it for some reason, which I don't understand, which is like, yes, GM Bill Guerin, please explain. It could have been two or three years, but five. Cinco. Are you serious? Yeah, so like 5 years. That's, yeah, that I don't understand. It's unexplainable. 2 or 3 years would have been enough. Like, you don't commit 5 years to a player like Freddie Goudreau. You just don't do that. So that was real weird. It just does not make any sense. So, yes, that's an awesome question. Please explain. Jade Bushy says, I agree with Tom. I think it's time Freddie sits for a few games. Your thoughts? Let me see if... Oh, God, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. So I was checking to see if there was an actual... if it was a responding to something I said or someone else. But no. Yeah, like, explain. Like, what's the reasoning for this nonsense? Yeah, exactly. I think it's time he does sit for a few games. Yeah, I agree 1,000%, Jay. Yeah, like, why is he still there? Like, why is he still there? Even if he's under contract, it's not like we owe him ice time. There has to be some kind of solution. And you've got to think somebody might be willing to take him on for cash considerations. But again, maybe like Derek says, probably not. Because it's literally giving $2 million to a guy that might get you 15 points or something. Maybe he'll help you out the shootout. You hope this and that. But even that magic seemed to go away. So the Derek Felska lightning round is back. It has returned. The Derek lightning round. Uh-oh. Yeah, and that's the other name. There's another player that needs to be, yeah, on the ice. And, oh boy. Well, and it's like, you can't send Lucchini or Lettieri down. I mean, you can, but it's like, well, they're kind of helping. That's the funny part. The other player that we're all forgetting now, well, not all of us. Obviously, Derek's not forgetting him. Mason Shaw is working the James Stepper Memorial Popcorn Maker while some of the veterans continue to do little to nothing most nights. What will it take to get him in the lineup, or is it how the Minnesota Wild roll? Wait for your chance to be scratched. Sure feels like it. Like, look at Beckman. Beckman was up here for like a week. Oh, he's going to get his chance, just not tonight. And he never did. And he's back in Iowa. Isn't that great? Isn't that just wonderful? Because we got to see Freddie Goudreau get 0-0-0-0-0-0. And then you have people like Micheletti or whoever. Hey, you know, he does a lot of little things. And yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks, Pat. And I like Pat Micheletti. I have nothing against him at all. I like him. You know, he's a very nice guy. He's very knowledgeable at hockey. But sometimes some of these players, like, you know... I'm sorry, be it eye test or analytics, whatever it is, he's failing in both. And it's not just Goudreau, it's other players as well. Obviously, the defensemen and such, but Chrisom is a nice addition. It helps us be freed from Goligoski at the very least, from what it sees. But yes, Mason Shaw is making a lot of popcorn. He is. And I'd rather he's out with the Minnesota Wild, at least give him a chance, this type of thing. He wasn't that productive of a player after a nice start to last season. He stayed good for a while, and then it was like game after game after game. He wasn't productive either, but at least again, he did the little thing. So there I go, putting my foot in my mouth. But that's the thing, Mason Shaw and Merritt Huznadinov now. Uh-oh. So, yeah, two guys that need to be up here, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Lucchini probably does less than Vinny Lettieri, but you know, obviously guys get hurt and this and that. Goudreau doesn't do anything. I think scratch Goudreau, for heaven's sake. Scratch Goudreau. It's not the end of the world. Other teams have scratched players that are under contract for a while that aren't good. It happens. Sometimes you just have to do it for the good of the team. If there's somebody that deserves to play instead of Goudreau, play him. Be it Huznadinov or Shaw. Anyhow, continuing. If the Minnesota Wild sign Merritt Huznadinov, are they just going to scratch him game after game until he shows the team something, I guess, at practice? Or will he get special treatment and get thrown into the fray right away? Sounds like it's going to be the previous. Sounds like it. Oh, yeah, he's going to play eventually. And I remember hearing that's pretty much exactly what Bill Guerin said. Eventually. It's like, oh, boy. Yep. So I think it's the, I guess, at practice type of thing, as you said. Next, the Florida Panthers' Nick Cousins acted as though he was shot in an on-ice scrimmage during a game against Buffalo. As the skirmish continues, he lays on the ice. He nearly gets hit with a skate as he leaps up. Should we suspect acts of fakery like this? Should we suspend acts? Yeah, I think we should at least fine. At the minimum, fine him, I think. And then it could lead to suspension if it's a continuing thing. Like a reputation type of deal. That'd be my guess. That's kind of what I'm thinking because of, it reminds me of soccer. The guy just lays there for like a minute, 2 minutes sometimes, after there's like a little bump or whatever, just lays there during the World Cup or whatever other soccer game. It's annoying. It's like, dude, just get up. So, yes, conversation there. Looks like there's a reply involved there. John says no because stars do it all the time, and if they get suspended, it will piss off fans even more than some fakery. Well, okay, then that's what I said. Fine. How about find them, whatever the word is. So, please, yep. Uh-oh. With Class A and Class AA section finals coming up, who do you think will win the Class A and who will win the Class AA at the Minnesota State Boys Hockey Tournament? Edina. Yep, you're going to just love my responses to this, but, well, Edina for AA and Hermantown for single A. I think so, yeah. When you see them there, it's like Hermantown section 7A. Oh, boy, yeah, it's Hermantown. It's I think, you know, I mean, how can I bet against Hermantown and Edina? I guess I'm a fan. I'm a cake eater at heart, I guess, even though I'm nothing close to being a cake eater. Hermantown is what they are. They are the kings of A. They are the kings of single A in the tournament, and they're back in it and all that. They're back in pretty much, so... they're not officially in the tournament yet, but again, who's going to bet against Hermantown for single A and then Edina for double A? That's just, you know, Edina's in the mix and all of that, so that's how I'm going to have to say it. I think Minnetonka will be a huge threat for the double A. A lot of people like Minnetonka actually winning the whole enchilada for single A. I don't know. It'd be cool to see somebody like New Ulm, maybe St. Cloud Cathedral jump up, but Orono's always been a threat. Obviously, you know, they've been a threat off and on through the years. But Hermantown is what it is. It's like a legendary school when it comes to high school tournament. They just are, like, whether you like them or not. And, you know, it's it's just the way it is. So we'll continue. Next one. The Minnesota Wild seem to be one step forward, one step backwards in the standings all the time. What video game level would you compare to the Wild's progress / regression to? So a level. Video game level. Level that you're just kind of one step forward, two steps back. In a lot of ways, like something like a Ninja Gaiden, I think it's like level 6. Like, okay, I'm getting to the boss and all that stuff, and then you die. And then you go back to 6-1 again. But obviously the Wild aren't even in 6-1. That would be like deep in the playoffs. But just imagining, I mean, if it's just a single level, like a single world like that, it could be World 6-1 in that one. I know as well puts you back a couple levels if you die. There's a couple of games. Obviously, Soul Feast for the Sega CD. You get to the final level, you go back and die, you go back two levels. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. What's the other one? Ghosts and Goblins. If you accidentally don't get the shield and you like beat the final boss, so to speak, like Satan, I guess is what it is, you go back to level 5, because it's level 6. You go back to level 5 if you don't get the shield. So it's like the Wild continue to not pick up the shield in Ghosts and Goblins. Next one. Ooh, Sega Genesis used to advertise itself as doing what Nintendo don't. Yep. What Minnesota Wild player do you think you'd compare to in that same way? Insert player here that does.
This is fun.
Brock Faber does what John Merrill don't. Yep, what John Merrill doesn't. Absolutely. That's one. That's for the defenseman. The Drew Erickson-Eck does what Freddie Goudreau don't. You know, what Freddie Goudreau doesn't. Drew Erickson-Eck, except for face-offs, Freddie Goudreau can win a face-off once in a while, where Eck is decent as well. So I guess they both kind of are okay at it. But Eck provides more. He provides more energy, provides more skill, provides more overall presence on the ice. So Drew Erickson-Eck does what Freddie Goudreau doesn't. That was fun. We talked about first off. And yep, Tom Hand with Merritt now signed. What should we expect? We should expect him to be on the roster at the very latest by March 8th. And after that, unfortunately, like, the first thing we should expect is to wait, which is annoying, but it is what it is. But I would not be overly surprised that when he does get on the ice, that he's productive right away, actually. I don't expect him to take off and be like a star, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's like a half a point a game type of guy, like a 40-point level player right now, and in the next year, you know, maybe kind of like, you know, kind of like Rossi in a way. Obviously a smaller guy, but like probably a better skater than Rossi. Small guy like Rossi. Better skater. They're both really good defenders. I can imagine him being kind of like similar point levels to Rossi in the NHL. Maybe not as good long term. Like Rossi might end up being a 60, 70 point player someday. But who's to know if it's probably 50-ish. That's my guess. That's my guess of where what we expect with Merit Khuznetsov. But his skating ability, we're going to see a player that, you know, gives it his all and just flies up and down the ice. Really nice defender. And he's decent in the faceoff circle as well. So that's what's exciting about the signing of Merit Khuznetsov. With that, that's the end of fan interaction. So now I want to give shout-outs to the likes of Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, also, again, Patrick Turner, Minnesota Wild Nation. A huge shout-out to MNW Prospects, our MNW Young Guns, Pavel Bennett, and Justin Bakke. You guys are the greatest. Absolutely love you. Huge, massive shout-out. I think I forgot to give a shout-out last week, which I feel terrible about. That would be Crease and Assist. Crease and Assist Podcast, the Crease Podcast, Crease and Assist. Derek Felska, Teresa Ferries, and Kalisha Townsill, who was busy last week, and you know, hoping the best with everything with all three of them. Obviously, health and other things in life. You know, hope the best for you guys, because I think you do a wonderful show. If it's two of you, it's fine. If it's three of you, it's great. Either way. Sometimes when it's just Derek and Teresa, it's fantastic. Derek and Kalisha, or Kalisha and Teresa is an interesting combination as well. They do a wonderful job, but it's nice how they can kind of like pick up each other's. You know, pick up, have each other's back, like one person's not feeling good, whatever, or has other things tied up. It's kind of cool how they're able to keep going, and it's nice. It's nice chemistry between the three of them, and they really know their hockey, honest to God. So, wonderful show, Derek. Absolutely wonderful show. With that said, we're gonna take a leave for a week, and who knows, maybe we will see Merit Khuznetsov, and I'm looking forward to it one way or another.